call the meeting to order. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Mickey Marazzi, the Portage County Engineer, and I'm filling in for our chairman who is out of town today. And I will confirm with Curtis that we do have a quorum.
We do.
So we are good to go. Do we have anyone wishing to comment under audience participation?
We have not received any public comments.
Okay, no public comment. Anyone? Okay, we will move on to item two, which is the minutes from last meeting. That would be Thursday, June 16th. They should have been in your packet. Chair would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Approved, fine. Second, judge.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. Is there any question, comment, or problem? Anyone? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. Next item is staff reports, financial progress report, and Curtis will make a presentation on that.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. So the biggest thing I wanted to let everybody know about as it is getting close to the fall is for the first time since 2019, AMAX is going to have its annual meeting. That meeting will take place at the Sheridan Suites in October. I believe it's Friday, October 7th. Pretty soon, we've got to save that. We'll be sending out a save the date. We'll be sending out registrations. So we hope everyone can kind of put that on their calendar, and we look forward to seeing you then. Also, it appears that the RAISE grants were announced. There were three in Ohio that we're aware of at this point, none of which are in Northeast Ohio, unless you count Sandusky, Huron area, right? Chad, have you heard anything other today? Yep. So, unfortunately, those of us that are, or those of you that applied, it sounds like we will be going back to the drawing board for the following year. Otherwise, that's really all I had, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Oh, my goodness. I did the technical progress report instead of the financial progress report.
I figured we'd swing into the financial progress report next. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds good. Financial progress report's the end of the... I'm wondering why Carrie's over here looking at me, and I'm trying to figure out what I was doing wrong. Attachment 3A is our financial progress report. This is through the end of the fiscal year. We spent about 78% of our budget. We're in good shape for the upcoming fiscal year. We've got a couple of big projects. We'll be hiring again for our payment condition indexes for the next 4 years to continue generating that data. As we'll talk about later, we have another Connecting Communities Planning Grant program that's upcoming. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions on Attachment 3A.
Where this is, but when you're hiring the PCI engineers, they're driving around, but they're not actually doing core sampling, correct?
No, yeah.
So it's, if we have a load that we know is not a good, and it's probably a poor rating, do we do our own core sampling and report back so that can change, or how do we approach it on that? Or do we talk later?
We can talk later about that. Typically, we try to take into account, so like if you had evidence of something other than what we see from photograph, or I guess some companies are even using laser now, you would send that to us, we would send it to the consultant would say, oh, we're going to correct this, or, you know, they kind of play the part of mediator of saying, like, you know what, oh, we didn't know that that was going on, so we can change the score, or things like that.
So. Sounds good. Thank you.
Anyone else? Question on financial progress report? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Clark, motion to approve.
Second.
Gonzi.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the financial progress report. Any last question, comment? Anyone? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item then on our agenda is the federal funds report. Mr. Poulet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to begin the federal funds report by letting all of you know that MS will be rolling out a new funding program called the Carbon Reduction Program. Now, it's not a It's not a lot of money. It's approximately $1.3 million per year. This was supposed to start in 22, so fiscal year 23 will actually be an accumulation of 2 years of funding. So in 23, we'll have approximately $2.5 or $2.6 million. And this is a new program, and I think it's very similar to the CMAQ program. It's basically supposed to fund any project that reduces carbon emissions. So, you know, I think they really want it kind of focused on non-motorized type projects. It also mentioned EV infrastructure. So we'll keep you informed about that when, as we learn more about it ourselves. But for fiscal year 23, we expect to have about $2.5 or $6 million of that money to use. And the only other thing is a large project is being canceled in fiscal year 24. It's going to free up about $4.1 million of STPG money, and we'll talk more about this project later when I do an amendment, but Amy Prater in our office has been working diligently and moving up resurfacing projects from 26, 27, 28 up to fiscal year 24, and we're doing that based on the PCI index, so the worst ones will have the opportunity to move first. And the only other thing I have is the next project review meeting will be August 31st. I sent out a Wednesday, August 31st. I sent out a notice yesterday, and I'll send out a reminder before that date rolls around. But the next project review meeting is Wednesday, August 31st, and it will be remotely like the past ones have. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. Yes?
Will the SUMTAC committee review the carbon reduction program guidelines as far as funding dollars and criteria to meet?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Like, so we don't even have like the CFR, the Code of Federal Regs that tell us the specifics of what this money can be spent on. And so one of the things that we'll discuss with TACTIP first is this a separate program? Is this a program that we just put into with our STBG funds and just try to supplant where projects are eligible? That's what we're going to try to figure out. My understanding is it is a sub-allocation, so it's not money that ODOT can take away from us. It's required by law to go to us, so therefore we can carry it over. So we can, you know, we have $2 million right now sort of sitting in the bank, and we're going to continue to get $1.3 each year, and so maybe it's something where we could do a round of funding that we don't award until 2026 or something like that. But yeah, the whole thing will go through our whole entire round of funding process. We won't just kind of decide what to do with it.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Fuller.
You're welcome.
Under old business, we have the final draft of the climate resiliency report, and Mr. Schwarzky is going to make the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, all. To refresh your memory, this report was presented in draft form back in May. Since then, staff have incorporated comments from committee members, including some clarifying language in various reports, sections of the report, and references to local flooding issues. And now we are presenting this as a final draft. The AMET staff recommends approval of the climate resilience report, and I'll take any questions.
No questions? Then I will entertain a motion to approve.
Bowling, move to approve.
Is there a second?
Chair Rittman.
It's been moved and seconded. Any final question or comment from anybody?
It has nothing to do with whether we should adopt it, but where does this take us? How will this be utilized as a tool going forward?
So it functions as an input to the long-range transportation plan. It is something that's highly encouraged by the federal transportation authorities. So what I think we need to do, and as part of our funding policy, when we talk about adopting new funding policies, what we need to determine is, are there projects on this list, or is there something that we want to award additional points to say, build some of these improve some of these locations. So, the main analysis that we did looked at roadways that are in flood areas that are prone to flooding, and are there projects? I think the next step is, are there real projects out there based on our identification of this that would merit federal funding? And so that would be our next step in this process, is to determine, for our communities to look at this map and say, hey, this is actually a problem and we should prioritize it.
That's all.
Any other question? Okay, there's a motion on the floor then to approve the final draft of the Climate Resiliency Report. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Next item on the agenda is new business, and under that we've got the Connecting Communities Grant Program. Mr. Baker is going to present.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. So since 2010, AMATS has had the Connecting Communities Initiative. As part of that, we have run a Connecting Communities Planning Grant Program. We wanted to let everyone know that we are going to be continuing the program for a sixth round of funding, making two $40,000 planning grants available. And with this memo attached is the notice of funding available. We will be asking for our communities who are interested in participating in this program and to receive a $40,000 planning grant to submit applications to the staff, which will be available September 1st with a deadline of September 30th. And our hope would be we'd be approving planning grant projects in December of this year. So typically our planning grant projects are looking at multimodal connections, integration of land use and transportation, bike transportation or pedestrian transportation plans, things like that. So if you are interested, please reach out to us, Heather, who couldn't be here today, but who runs the program. Let us know what your project is. Talk to us about it. Talk to us about the plan, and we will try to help you through the process of submitting an application. But we've definitely had a lot of success. We've been able to build real projects based on the plans that have been developed over the last decade, and it continues to be a really successful program for us. So definitely encouraging all of you to consider if you have a program or a planning area that you would like to hire a consultant and take a look at to improve the connections and connectivity of your region. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Anyone? Any questions? Okay, we are not required to perform any action on that, so we will move on to item 6, resolutions. Our first one is resolution 22-14, approving support for infrastructure and congestion-related performance measures targets. Mr. Gardner, that's a mouthful. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 6A in your packet. AMATS is now required to establish performance targets as part of the regional transportation and planning process. It's a federal initiative that goes back about 5 or 6 years. The AMATS funding policy guidelines currently employ performance data and project selection, and they may also be amended in the future in order to support these goals as additional federal program rules become available. It's been a long-standing policy at AMATS to use quantifiable data project selections. We will continue in that regard. With this resolution, the staff is requesting support for ODOT statewide targets for pavement and bridge conditions, the level of travel time reliability, and the level of truck travel time reliability. In coordination with ODOT and NOAACA, this resolution also approves the Cleveland Urbanized Area Target. for peak hour excessive delay, non-single occupancy vehicle travel, and project emissions reductions. In coordination with ODOT and OAPA, this resolution also approves an anti-urbanized area target for those measures also, peak hour excessive delay, non-single occupancy vehicle travel, and project level emission reductions. And that's agreed to include performance-based decision-making as part of the project selection and funding process. And lastly, the staff is requesting that the policy committee approve that AMATS as part of the Cleveland, Akron, Lorraine non-attainment or management areas support the intent of ODOT's statewide targets for air quality improvements. The staff is requesting approval of Resolution 2022-14, and we are supporting ODOT's statewide and area-wide performance targets and our urbanized area performance targets. And we would be pleased to answer any questions.
Are there any questions from the floor? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve Resolution 2022-14.
So moved, Evans.
Second, Clark.
It's been moved and seconded. Are there any questions from the floor? One last time. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Resolution is passed. Next item is Resolution 2022-15, approving Amendment Number 20 to the TIP. Mr. Poulet will make a presentation.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Resolution 2022-15 is Amendment Number 20 to the current TIP. This amendment deletes a project and then revises funding to a project. The project that's being deleted is Cyberling Way Phase 1. This is really an old project. Those of you that are familiar with PID numbers probably can recognize how old that is. It goes back to 2008 when the Goodyear headquarters and the Goodyear development area was being planned, along with the Goodyear headquarters, private and public officials decided to also build a little network of streets around the new headquarters to spur new development. And as things progressed and as we got toward the end of the project, it was determined that this street was not really needed. So this is $4.1 million that's scheduled in fiscal year 2024 that will be credited back to AMATS. And our Amy from our office has been backfilling this year with resurfacing projects. So as I mentioned earlier, we're trying to take the worst PCIs first and moving those up. And the other project has also been around for a while. It's the East Exchange Street project in Akron. It's East Exchange Street by the university. It kind of took some time to determine what exactly was going to work there. It's going to be a new complete streets type concept with safer pedestrian facilities. And the project... it went from around $5 million to over $11 million. The city of Akron absorbed the extra cost. AMATS always just had $3.8 million of STVT in it. But I have to show this increase in the TIP because it's just to show the substantial increase in the project. But it's none of this extra money is being... given by AMATS. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
You know, Dave, there's one thing I'd just like to add is that with, you know, obviously the staff had anticipated for a while that the Cyberling Way Phase 1 would eventually be canceled. However, you know, because, as you might remember, we passed that funding policy that included our PDIP, the Project Delivery Incentive Program. So, you know, every community that we contacted that was in 2027... you know, had made a commitment that they'd be ready by 2024, and if they were, they'd get a 10% local share. 10% of the local share would be covered by toll revenue credits. Every community that we contacted said, we are ready to move up. And I think that's just, one, applause to all of our members because you've stuck to your commitment, but that makes our lives so much easier instead of worrying about, is the money going to be there? These projects, you guys have been working on these projects knowing that there's a chance of that happening. And so from a staff perspective, I think it shows the value of that program, that incentivizing that piece of it to have it ready. And I think this is the first time we've gotten to see we're pulling all these projects from 27 into 24. And that's something that I think it's been a good policy so far. So I just wanted to point that out because this is really the first utilization of that program.
Any questions from the floor on Resolution 2022-15? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve.
So moved, Judge.
Is there a second?
Second, Johnson.
It's been moved and seconded to approve Resolution 22-15. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is also being presented by Mr. Poulet, and it's Resolution 2022-16.
Okay, thank you. MX is asking your support for a new safety program, I guess you could call it a program, called Vision Zero. Now, you may be wondering, what is Vision Zero? It's a new federal program that is a strategy to eliminate traffic fatalities and severe injuries among all road users and to ensure safe, healthy, equitable mobility for all. One unique thing about Vision Zero is it realizes that people sometimes do make mistakes. And we can't fix all of our safety issues by fixing the infrastructure. Vision Zero is not a slogan or a tagline. It's really creating a new safety culture, a new way of thinking where we want to make people think about safety before they act, before a person gets in a vehicle drunk and drives 100 miles an hour and goes off the road and ends up as a fatality. We want that person to really think about what he's really doing before that happens. So the traditional approach versus the Vision Zero approach. Traditional approach says that traffic deaths are inevitable. They're going to happen no matter what. Human behavior is good. It's not the human's fault. We want to prevent all collisions. Individual responsibility, what that means is individual locations where we try to fix things, and saving lives is expensive. The Vision Zero approach is traffic deaths are preventable. Human mistakes have to be considered. We want to focus on fatal and severe crashes, and many of those involve pedestrians, bicyclists. Sometimes we apply a systems approach, and saving lives is not always expensive. Nine components of Vision Zero: political commitment. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon to reach these lofty goals. It takes a long-term commitment. Multidisciplinary leadership from different areas of government and the private sector that can collaborate ideas, creating an action plan, equity. We want to make sure that all neighborhoods and all people get treated the same. Once again, it's a systems approach. It's driven by data, analyzing data, what's, you know, possible, what's happening, and community engagement. And I think this is so important because it's been my experience when I have gone out and in the field, talked to people. It's just amazing the stories you hear. Like, when you're always in the office looking at crash reports, you just see the crashes that's happened and that's been reported. But it's amazing when you talk to people around some of these areas, like people that live close to some of these areas, how many stories they'll have about things that almost happened or things or accidents that's happened and just was never reported. So I think that's very important. And then, of course, transparency, letting the public and everyone involved in what's happening. Now, along with this program comes funding opportunities. And the funding program for this program is called Safe Streets for All. It's approximately $1 billion per year supporting Vision Zero planning and implementation. And that's, of course, that's $1 billion nationwide, but nevertheless, that's a lot of funding. And I think there's $5 billion set aside for this program over the life of the program. So today, by approving Resolution 2022-16, we're actually at the first step. We're actually doing political commitment. We're actually committing to this program, and that is what we want to start with. After today's commitment, we will work on putting together a leadership committee, and then after the leadership committee is assembled, we want to develop an action plan. And I think our goal is to possibly have this action plan completed maybe in a year's time. So if there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Yes.
Who's going to run the program? Who's going to be chair again?
What do you mean, like AMAT?
We got a program. Is AMAT going to be in charge of it?
It's not, well, it's not really a program, it's a plan. And there's a task force that will be like a steering committee.
Who calls the first meeting?
AMAT will call
it. Yeah, well,
so you're going to chair it.
So we're what?
You're going to chair it, basically.
Some kind of engineer.
I'm just trying to understand. Yeah. I'm guessing, by the way. You are, no. Yeah.
Is that a volunteer?
Part of the problem.
Can I see your hand?
That's part of the problem remains that we as a group are going to be telling Mr. Klein's police how to do their job. How the police, how the sheriff's going to do their work. It's a multidisciplinary, but we don't have any authority over it.
No, but the goal of these programs and the what's laid out by the Safe Streets for All is that it's supposed to be an interdisciplinary steering committee. So we will be asking our members to not only bring your engineer, but bring, you know, fire safety, police, et cetera.
Yeah, in essence,
how are we going to be able to control it? If we're going to set our goal at zero fatalities, how are we going to be able to manage anything and say we're close to that? I've been in this business for 55 years.
So last week you wanted it to be a 10-year goal, and now you just don't want it?
A shorter time frame, an achievable goal. Reduce traffic fatalities by 15-20% in 10 years.
Well, I think
that's remarkable.
As we discussed at our last policy committee, one of the purposes we had asked our policy committee members if this was something that they wanted to pursue, because there is an element of funding out there available with a Safe Streets for All plan, and AMATS did commit to doing the Safe Streets for All plan. This is the guidance of the Safe Streets for All plan. If we don't want to do it, we don't have to do it.
That's why I'm questioning. We really want to put effort into this.
Well, if there's $5 million or $1 billion out there, I think if I have a street in college that is a bad intersection and people are getting hurt, they're dying or whatever, I look at this as if the committee comes up with policy, I might be able to go get a better funding source to fix that.
If you do the arithmetic, take the $1 billion and divide it among 50 states, take our share of it, divide it among our 88 counties, it comes out about a quarter of $1 million per county. That's about what it would take to do one approach to your one intersection in this entire county. I mean, it's good. We voted for it. What are we going to do? We're going to get something, we're going to fail it.
Good.
That's a goal we can reach somehow.
Two thoughts. One is the notion in here about raising public awareness by itself seems to be a plus. Is this something that's going to financially tax this board?
Or no.
Is this going to, okay, so we don't really have a financial consideration. It's not going to create a financial burden.
No. So, I mean, a lot of
financial benefit.
Yes.
Yeah, and honestly, like, AMATS has that we... one of the reasons AMETS is taking the lead is because we do about 80% of, like, all the data, we're already doing all of this.
Right.
It's just repackaging it in a different way. And that was one of the reasons when we talked that we thought it made sense for AMETS to take the lead, because we sort of have all the data, we have all the information, we just need to kind of put it together in a way that, that the feds are asking to see it.
Looks like a good program.
I'd like to just interject, and I was just one comment about telling the police how to do their job. Actually, it'll work the other way around. The various police departments, fire departments, whoever's on this committee that actually see this stuff, I mean, hands-on, will more or less be telling us, will be giving us ideas, will giving us suggestions, because they probably see, you know, they see these crashes on a daily basis, and they probably know things that need fixed that we might be missing. So
I agree,
it will actually work the other way around.
I agree wholeheartedly with you. But the one item that will reduce accidents almost immediately is making cell phone usage a primary offense. That the police can stop somebody for using a cell phone. State legislature shot that down 2 years ago. They haven't revisited it yet. So your political commitment has to start with the state legislature. That will stop, I'd say, a good 10% of the accidents right now. And that's something you can talk to any police officer, and he'll tell you that every time he has an accident, most of the time it's either
alcohol,
drugs, or cell phone.
But I don't understand why it wouldn't be helpful for this organization to make a stand and say that we think that's important.
I think it's great.
And so I... like, that's what could come from this, is a policy of our board supports making cell phone usage in cars a primary offense. I mean, if we don't do, the other option is doing nothing.
Well, the extreme is doing away with cars. That way you won't have a vehicle pedestrian accident. And that's an extreme you're not going to go to.
I think, too, you have to realize that, I mean, in reality, I shouldn't say this, but in reality, we'll probably never really reach zero, an actual zero goal. But let's face it, maybe if we can reduce, maybe if through our efforts we can at least get halfway to that goal, that's still a big reduction.
That's what I'm suggesting.
But the other thing too, and I know Mayor Neugebauer was our chairman who has talked to me about this, as he always points out to the airline industry, you know, that the airline industry has met basically a zero fatality goal, and part of the path to that was a lot of autonomy in vehicles or in their airplanes, and we are heading that way. I mean, it's not going to be I don't believe anybody that says we're going to be in autonomous cars 5 years from now, but by 2050 we might be. And it might actually be a very realistic goal. But I think it's, you know, I think, yes, there's definitely an aspirational part of this, but I still think it's important.
I think just the fact that cars now have, you know, automatic braking systems I think that has reduced a lot of rear-end collisions. But, you know, it's going to take a while before, once again, it's going to take a while before all the vehicles on the highways have these new features.
I'll make a motion that we approve this resolution. Continue talking, but I'll make that motion.
Bowling, second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the resolution. Any other question?
I have a question.
Yes.
How many communities here have distracted driving laws already in place? The village does. I mean, we're 1 square mile. You're caught on a cell phone or you're looking down. You're pulled over, whether you're sighted or not. They usually get a warning, but we're stopping them.
I think that's very helpful to know.
Anyone else? Okay, then we'll put forth the question. All those in favor of 22-16, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Are there any other items of business? Any other business?
No other business.
Anything from the floor?
Second.
Then moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We're out of here.
Go.
Thank you.